Last week we looked at some of those verses that we read responsively, and we'll give a short review of that, but we know that we are to live by faith. The Scripture says the just are to live by faith. Do we know how this faith is to be exercised? Hebrews 11:1 describes faith as the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:2 gives us an example from creation. He says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by the things which do appear." We recognize from that verse that we're not going to be able to determine in looking at things that we can see of where the earth and what its origins and all that is, because they were framed by the word of God. And we are told that, and so we accept that, and we understand that by faith, because it's from God. In Hebrews chapter 11, as you read through that chapter, not just the verses that we looked at, but we see down through the annals of church history that are given up to that point. We see men and women of faith until we're come to chapter 12, and we see wherefore we are encompassed by so great a cloud of witnesses, as we have those that have gone before us, those that have followed in faith before us. He says, "Let us lay aside every weight and every sin that doth so easily beset us, but let us run with patience that race that is before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." We saw with Moses, we saw in verse 2, his heritage of faith. When it says he was born, there was hid 3 months of his parents. But it says they were not afraid of the king's commandment. We saw there his parents that he had parents that believed God, parents that trusted in God, parents that lived by a general faith in God, a faith that would accept even personal peril in order for them to do what they believed was right. We noted that his parents didn't have any promise that Moses would be spared, but they knew that it was the will of the Lord for them to do what was right, and then they just trusted God in that. And the Lord saw fit in that case to spare Moses' life, and really to spare them for what they had done. In fact, they were honored, and the Moses' mother was able to raise that child even in Pharaoh's court. And what a blessing that was. But we saw that Moses didn't just have a heritage of faith. We saw that he had a personal faith. And that was, we see that in verses 24 and 25. When he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, because he had respect and the recompense of reward. You see, his parents' faith was not sufficient for him. It was there. He had that background. His mother must have been a great a teacher. But when he came to years, he had a choice, personal choice to make. And we really emphasize that to you young people, especially that are here, that are raised in a Christian home, and you've got Christian parents, and you're raised with a heritage of faith, but oh, how important it is that you come to that place of that personal choice, and because it's a personal faith that is necessary. We saw that when he came to years, he made that choice. We noted repentance was involved there as he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He turned from the world's heritage. He turned from the rich Egyptian heritage that he had, a prince there that he would have been there in that country. It turned from the idol worship that was there, a very integral part of them. He turned from the sin and the debauchery that was there, a part of Egypt. But he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. There was a turning from that in Egypt, recognizing that his choice may involve affliction. It says he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. You know, some people say, well, you just come to the Lord and everything is going to be just fine. Everything might not be just fine. There is a choice, and Moses recognized when he made that choice, he assumed that he was going to be afflicted because he was recognizing his people were slaves there in Egypt. And for him to turn from the riches in Egypt, to turn there, he recognized that for him it probably would involve affliction. But he said he would rather have that than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see, he saw the perspective of sin. He saw that and understood that sin is that which is, there are pleasures in sin, but it's short-lived. And we saw the eternal perspective that he had, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of reward. He saw the riches of Christ. By faith, he saw the reward of eternity. He compared the riches, the treasures of Egypt, he compared them with the treasures of Christ's reproach, and he saw a much greater value. You see, faith looked ahead there to the reward. Faith looks ahead, seeing what God has promised. That's what we saw. It is the evidence of things hoped for. We began to see the life of faith of Moses in verse 27 last week. His life of faith, where we see that he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He forsook Egypt. He left the security of the world. He had a life, we saw, that was secure there in Egypt. Yet he saw that his security was in Christ and it was not in man. And so he didn't fear. He didn't fear the wrath of the king, but he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Yes, he knew the king's, Egypt's king's power and wrath, but he also knew the power of God. And so there we, and that's where we left off last week, seeing Moses' heritage of faith, seeing that personal faith that Moses had in trusting the Lord. Then we began to see his walk of faith as we see him forsaking Egypt. So we'll continue today with verse 28. In that walk of faith, we'll see a worship, how he worshiped in faith. It says, through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. It's very interesting when you go to Exodus and you read the accounts of what was taking place there in Egypt. You see, Moses, the people that he's identified with, are a people in great bondage. They're slaves in Egypt. And when Moses first comes on the scene, and Moses comes before Pharaoh and asks of their release, it just gets worse. It doesn't get better. You go to Exodus chapter 12, I believe, and in verse 5, it says, when this happened, it says, the officers of the children of Israel saw that they were in evil case after it was said, ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task. After Moses went in to them and they thought they were going to be delivered by Moses, instead of deliverance, Pharaoh says, you guys just aren't working hard enough. You got too much time on your hands. And he says, we're gonna make you go out and find the materials that you need to make the bricks for this labor that we have you in. And when they went and they complained and they said, look, we're we're doing as much as we can. Pharaoh just said, you just get back to work and you do the same work even without the materials that you have to go look for. And when you come down to verses 20 and 21 of Exodus 5, these officers of Israel, they come before Moses and Aaron. In verse 21, they said, the Lord look upon you and judge, because you've made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. The Israelites are saying, Moses, things have gotten worse. We're just going to get killed out here because of you. Then in the passages that come up through that, and those of you who were here on Sunday night when Pastor Howard's going through Exodus, we talked about the plagues. And when those 10 plagues came, and after each plague, things just got worse. It was like the Lord would bring judgment there in Egypt with a plague, and Pharaoh in his old hard heart would not let the Israelites go. And then we see that the Lord hardening Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh's heart was hardened more and more. And then that's when we come to Exodus chapter 12. And the reason I'm going back here to Exodus, because this is the situation that was like when Moses is going to worship in the Passover. Exodus chapter 12, verse 2. The Lord has said to Moses and Aaron, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. The Lord tells them, okay, this is the new beginning. And he tells them, you're going to be delivered. Look at in the 11th verse of Exodus chapter 12. He tells them in the preparation of this of the Passover, and they're eating of the Passover, he says, you shall eat it with your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. In the institution of this, they were to do it with an expectancy of deliverance. Although, in everything that had happened in the past, there had been no deliverance. In fact, things had got worse, and Pharaoh was determined that he would not let them go out of Egypt. So when we see here Moses keeping the Passover, it was a time that we will see was a celebration. It was a time celebrating deliverance that they did not see. They could only see it through faith, because God said it would be. That's where true faith comes in. When it doesn't look like it's possible, but God has promised something. What do we do in that? We say, well, I don't think the Lord understands this situation. Or do we say, the Lord said it, I don't know how it's going to be, because God said it, I can trust in it. And that is a faith that is not an empty faith, but it's a faith in the things that God has promised. And that's the kind of faith that God wants us to have, a faith in Him, a faith in His Word. And so though Israel is in the midst of slavery, they are in the midst of not just slavery, but in a great bondage of a very cruel slavery. Things continually get worse, and yet the Lord says, I want you to prepare to worship me in celebration of what I'm going to do. That is amazing to me. You know, we know how to do celebration when we see, you know, whenever something has happened, a great event has taken place, we say, wow, let's celebrate. This is wonderful. Look what God has done. But this was, look what God has promised, though we've not seen any evidence that it's going to be. So that's there is that faith as he kept the Passover. Now, as we go there back to verse 28 in Hebrews 11, it says he kept the Passover by faith and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And again, we'll go back to Exodus chapter 12. And here in Exodus chapter 12, the Lord is telling them what they need to do in preparation for this Passover. And part of that preparation is to, in the fifth verse, is for them to take a lamb, one that is without spot, one that is spotless as far as they can tell. But he says, wrong verses, excuse me. He says, and your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep, or out from the goats, and so they're to take this lamb. It is to be slain. It is to be, and it goes into the account of how it is to be roasted. It is to be, and how that it is to be eaten. But the blood of that, then we see in the seventh verse, it says, and they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. So they're to take the blood that of this a slain, a spotless a lamb, and they're to take that blood, it says, and they're to put it on the sides. And we'll see in another passage where they take that in the 22nd verse, It describes that. It says, you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lentil and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until morning. So Moses was told to keep this sprinkling of blood. He was told how this was to be done, and he was to give instructions to the Israelites of what they were to do. Moses, by faith, said, look, this is what you're to do, because God is going to judge. God is going to judge Egypt, and if that judgment is not to come to you, you need to have the blood on the sides and on the doorpost. We see that if you look in verse 23. It says, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. So it is believing that God is going to bring judgment, like he said. Now, what that judgment was, if we had time to go through and to read that passage of Scripture, this last judgment that God was going to bring upon Egypt, he said, if you don't let Israel go, he says that there is going to be the death of the firstborn of every, not just in the families, he said, from the families from Pharaoh, from his eldest son, on down to the eldest of even the one that is in prison, from everybody that was there, not only upon the people but upon their animals, that even the firstborn of them, it was a judgment that God was going to bring upon Egypt for their wickedness and their sin. And we need to remember in God's judgment on Egypt, it wasn't just because of not leaving Israel go. They were a nation in great wickedness, and God was going to bring judgment upon them. And but for Israel, God said, when I send the death angel that will bring this death to every firstborn, said, I'll pass, the death angel will pass by, will pass over your place if the blood is on the doorpost. And that's where he says, don't leave your homes, stay within the home, so that the death angel will pass over you. When you think of the word Passover, that's where that concept comes of the word and the name of the Passover. It was a time when the Lord would pass over his judgment, not that it wouldn't be upon Israel, but it would only be upon the wicked there in Egypt. So Moses there had, by faith, he kept the sprinkling of blood. By faith, he had a faith that there would be God's deliverance from death. And it was a celebration of God's deliverance. Did you look down in verse 24 of Exodus 12? And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And then he goes on and explains, it shall come to pass when ye come into the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised that he shall keep his service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That you'll say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed and worshiped. And then the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, and so did they. Again, when he kept the sprinkling of blood, it was the beginning of a celebration of the deliverance of God. And as Moses gave the people that, and he led them there in worship, where they bowed and they worshiped God. You see that the effect of Moses' faith as he lived by faith, as he's walking by faith, and he is worshiping by faith. He is actually establishing a yearly celebration for his deliverance. You know, in America we celebrate Thanksgiving. But we celebrate Thanksgiving, it was established after the fact. after the fact that they did survive that awful winter, and there was the provision of the Lord in that next year, and it was a time of thanksgiving of what they had seen with their eyes. This is a celebration by faith of what God is going to do. And we're going to do this. We're going to do this throughout our generations, and we're going to be able to tell our children, this is what the Lord did. That's what it means to really worship in faith. You know, as we look forward, we know that the Passover, that's that same feast that Jesus was keeping when he called his disciples together in the upper room for the purpose of the Passover. But you remember that Jesus was the perfect lamb whose blood was shed for the deliverance from the wrath of God and the promise of eternal life. You know, there's such a parallel, and the Lord designed it to be such that as we would see his working in the Old Testament with Israel and the promises and many of the things, even as the Passover was designed as that looked forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why John the Baptist, remember that when he saw the Lord Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And even as they were preparing for the keeping of the Passover there before the Lord Jesus' death, it was that at that time that the Lord Jesus then took there of that unleavened bread as had been prepared there for the Passover, and then he took of the and he said, "This is my body that is broken for you." And then he took there of that grape juice and he said that this was his blood that was shed for their sins, and they were to do that in remembrance of him. That was another place where the Lord started a celebration, a remembrance that had not yet been accomplished, but it was going to be, because with the Lord, you know, when the Lord says something, it's going to be, it's just as well as done because he has promised it to be. We now worship in faith, keeping the Lord's Supper, remembering Jesus' precious blood that was shed for us. We're not worried. It isn't the death angel that is passing over because of a judgment upon the nation. It is an eternal judgment that we are able to be passed over by through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember my mother teaching that in Bible club when I was a little boy, and I can remember her saying, "Now, look how they put the blood here on this side and up there." And she showed, and you know, there isn't any place in the scripture that it says, "See the cross in that." There's no place in the scripture that says that, but certainly it was that blood that was shed on the cross that this is pictured by in the passing over of the death angel. So Moses worshiped God by faith in establishing the Passover, in the sprinkling of blood that was done, looking by faith, is worshiping by faith. And then as we come to verse 29 this morning, we just see Moses' walk of faith. It says, "They passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned." Now, how was that by faith? The Lord spread the waters, right? I mean, they could see the waters there spread. They could see the dry land. But you know, that's not the way it developed. They didn't get there to the Red Sea. They didn't get there and see this path that was through there. If you remember the account in Exodus chapter 14, you know, Pharaoh has let them go as the Lord said he would, but as the Lord also said, but then he's gonna come after you. And the Lord had judgment that he was yet to bring upon Pharaoh. And so, if you go back and read the account, and you remember the account, Pharaoh says, why did we let him go? Let's go. They went after them. And they came, and he comes with his armies. He comes with his chariots. And they come, and where has the Lord directed Israel? The Lord has directed Israel down to a spot. Down to a spot where there's only the sea that's there. They have no way out. Have you ever been in that place? There's no way out. And have you ever thought like the children of Israel did? I mean, they said to Moses, why did you bring us here? Why didn't you leave us back in Egypt? They're going to kill us out here. We got no place to go. What did Moses say to the children of Israel? And this is a verse that I just love it. It's in Exodus 14, 13. Moses says to the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. You see, Moses said to the people, fear not. There is that approaching danger. Pharaoh in his wrath and his armies is coming, and as far as Israel is concerned, just coming to slay them on the spot. And Moses said, don't fear. And he stood there with expectancy. He says, just stand here and watch what God is going to do. Stand and see what God is going to do. See the salvation of the Lord, what he's going to show you this day. You see, and then when we come to verse 21, you come to verse 21 of Exodus 14. It says, let me get it here. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. There, the Lord in his power. The Lord, what did Moses, what did he ask Moses to do? All the Lord asked Moses to do, and you read the account, the Lord says, Moses, now just hold your hand out over the sea. That's all he asked Moses to do. He asked him by faith that he would stretch out his hand over the sea. Moses moved in faith, and he acted, and God then acted in his power. It's then that God caused the sea to go back with a strong wind. And God caused the sea to become a dry land, and the waters were divided. And then God caused the Egyptians. Look at verse 23 and 24, where the Egyptians then pursued after them in the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians. He took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians and their chariots and their horsemen. Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. And when the morning appeared, the Egyptians fled, but the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, covered their chariots and their horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came after them. God did not ask Moses to do some great task. All he asked Moses to do was to believe him, and he asked him to raise his hand over the sea. There was nothing of the strength and the power of Moses. It was all in the strength and the power of God. You see, the Lord had hardened Pharaoh's hard heart again. The Lord had created what looked like a trap to destroy Israel, but it was in reality a trap for Pharaoh. What Israel took for their destruction, and when they cried against Moses, was in reality the final destruction of their enemy. You see, our ways are not God's ways. Our ways are not God's ways. And what looks to us like something's out of kilter here, God doesn't know what he's doing. We have a sovereign God, and God does know what he's doing. And so Moses, acting in faith, walking by faith, when the situation looked impossible, but he had the promises of God. And so he says, don't fear, just stand there and let's see what God's going to do. But what do in situations like that? Do we walk by faith? Do we hold to the promises of our God? Or do we doubt God? You know, God has given us promises and prophecies for the future. We too are to walk by faith. We're too to walk in the promises of our God. And what often looks like the failure of God to fulfill will finally be a perfect fulfillment of his word. You know, when we look at the prophecies of things that are to come, and we see, you know, our world is not out of control. God is still in control. And, you know, there's things that we see in prophecy that we wondered years ago, how could those things ever have come to be? And yet today, there's many of those things are in place. We know that the nations are going to be deceived. We know that there's going to be an increase of great wickedness. But God is going to bring judgment upon this earth. But God is going to care for his own. And we're to live in these days following the promises of our God. We're to look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think of the one verse that says, when you see these things, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. You know, that's where Moses was. It looked like, wow, we're going to be killed here. But Moses knew that God had said, I'm going to deliver you there, and I am going to bring judgment upon the Egyptians there. And so Moses just said to his people, don't fear. Just stand here and watch what God's going to do. We need to walk by faith. We need to walk by faith. So, when we apply that to our own lives here this morning, may Moses' walk of faith be your example. May it be my example. God has recorded these events for our benefit. That's why he put this account of Moses back here in the New Testament in Hebrews to give us an example of that faith. He wants us to understand how Moses just believed God, even though the situation did not show itself that it was going to happen. So that we might believe God, that we might have a personal faith in him, that we might worship him in faith, that we might walk daily by faith the faith of our God. Yes, as Moses understood, it may mean persecution. We don't know what is before us, but we do know that God is in control, and we do know that we belong to Him, and that He can be trusted in His Word. So let us not fear, and then certainly, as the Israelites were prone to do, to turn back. But let us be encouraged to walk by faith, and to live by faith, and worship by faith. A personal faith that we have individually put in our Lord and our God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for this example of faith of Moses. And Lord, help us to grasp hold of a little bit of that genuine faith that we see in this man. Lord, what you want to do in our hearts this morning is different in each one, and we understood that. Now, Lord, we ask you to do that. Lord, each of us have different things that we need to just commit to you by faith, to put you first and follow you, not looking at the circumstances around us, but, Lord, help us to keep on, to put our eyes upon thee and to keep our eyes upon thee. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.